This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. From a wannabe rock star in School of Rock to a Mexican wrestler in Nacho Libre to the voice of Kung Fu Panda.
I said that too soon, didn't I? I'm better when my hair is tussled a little bit.
Jack Black is probably the closest thing in Hollywood to a superstar clown. He's been described as, quote, big, obnoxious, and funny in a slightly terrifying way. Like a lot of clowns, actually. So he takes a surprising and interesting turn in the movie Bernie. It's about a kind-hearted, mild-mannered mortician, a pillar of his small-town community, nice to old ladies. He even leads the church choir.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
But Bernie, it turns out, has a problem, and he winds up committing a pretty grisly murder. The script is based on a true story.
When I read it, it actually took me aback because it's not like any of the movies I've done before. It's got a darker tone and it's some more sophisticated, difficult material that I didn't know if my core audience would really be down for. Maybe I underestimated them a bit, hopefully. And I thought, no, pass. But then I took a beat and I thought, I said, wait a second, this is a great opportunity here.
That's interesting to me. You actually thought, it's not what I do, core audience won't dig it, I shouldn't do it. You really had that moment.
Yeah, well, you know, I have that moment with all my best stuff. I always turn it down. I turned down High Fidelity, a movie I did with Stephen Frears that really got my career started because, you know, there's a fear of diving into new realms and riskier material. And, of course, that's the stuff that ends up being the best stuff. So now I've learned when I'm scared, take a minute, really examine yourself. Am I scared because it's dangerous material that I should do, or am I scared because it's going to be crappy?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Distinguishing those two resistances is important. I guess that's what being a successful movie actor is all about.
That's it. Maybe it goes beyond acting, Kurt.
Could go to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's listen to a scene from Bernie. This is Bernie at his trial being cross-examined by the DA, who is played by Matthew McConaughey.
So help me out here, Bernie. On this trip with Mrs. Nugent to New York City. Did you fly first class?
Yes, I believe we did.
Tell us the difference between like the first class seats and the regular old seats in the back of the plane. I never been up there.
I'd say the seats are a little larger, maybe. More comfortable.
And don't they have people waiting on you and stuff, too? You know, I mean, people, you bringing you fancy food and serving you whatever you want to drink and stuff like that.
Yes, the service is probably a little better.
So you like the first-class treatment, first-class lifestyle, the best that money can buy.
I was accompanying Mrs. Nugent, who usually preferred these things when she traveled.
That is Matthew McConaughey and Jack Black in Bernie. When you're doing a scene like that, were you conscious of, wow, I have to be so restrained and keep it so tight and small for such a long period of time? Because that's not what you do a lot of the time.
Yeah, I just tried to get into the reality of the situation, especially when it's something that really occurred. And Rick was in the courthouse, you know, when that happened.
The director, yeah.
So he was able to guide me in the way of how it really happened.
Yeah. I as I was watching that, I was thinking, yeah, this is kind of a, what does this remind me of? And I thought, oh, this is like a Philip Seymour Hoffman role. And then I read that you once said, oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman got all the roles I wish I would have gotten over the years. And then I saw he's only 2 years older than you. He's not this older man. You're contemporaries. Are there Philip Seymour Hoffman roles you wish, I wish I had that?
Sure. Yeah, I love his career. But I love my career too. We've crossed paths a couple times on a couple things, you know, that I tried to get that he got, and I, much to my chagrin. But I like to think that he wishes he could have stepped into my shoes a couple times too. Okay, Kurt,
I'm sure he
does. Get off my kitchen.
I'm sure he does. I want to. You mentioned High Fidelity before. I want to play a little bit from that, in which you are famously and delightfully the obnoxious music snob record store clerk.
Nice, Jerry. Really, really nice. It was just top class.
Rob, top five musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s, go. Sub question, is it in fact unfair to criticize a formerly great artist for his latter-day sins? Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Bury the f***ing throat, man.
Jesus, he was going to buy one record, which we didn't even have, and then leave and never come back again anyway.
It's not the point. What did he ever do to you?
He offended me with his terrible taste.
It wasn't even his terrible taste. It was his daughter's. Are you
That was High Fidelity. That was your big breakout movie. Do you look back at that and say, wow, I'm grateful for that? And interesting how that made me become, have this career as a result, do mostly these roles as a result?
Well, I feel like that was a kind of an extension of what I'd been doing with Tenacious D before that movie came out. So right. I had some momentum in that rocking and acting combination. And that's kind of what got me that role.
Speaking of Tenacious D, there's a new Tenacious D album out this year, and it's just as over the top and wonderfully absurd as ever. It's called Rise of the Phoenix, spelled F-E-N-I-X.
And the critics all agreed it was a stinky pile of cheese, but that does not mean that our hearts are not strong. Just like the Phoenix.
That's Jack Black and Tenacious D with their new record, Rise of the Phoenix. Every time I hear Tenacious D, I'm just reminded, wow, the guy can really sing.
Well, it's kind of a what came first, the rock or the egg acting, beating the egg. And I don't think I would be able to do one without the other.
Really?
Yeah.
And Tenacious D pre-existed that by almost a decade. You've been doing this longer than you've been a movie star.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kyle and I came up together in the theater scene in Los Angeles in the 80s. We were in the Actors Gang Theater Company. I don't know if you heard of it. It was Tim Robbins' company, sort of a political activist theater company. And Kyle was there as like one of the musical forces of the troupe. And I just nestled my head under his sweaty wing. And we joined forces in his cockroach apartment. And just wrote jams for years and years before we ever played live in front of people.
It was just a thing you did.
It was just a thing where we were best friends and we needed each other's friendship. We weren't even really thinking about where we were going with this quote unquote project. And little did we know, we were on our way to being the greatest rock band of all time.
The movie Spinal Tap came out when you were 15 years old, which seems like it would have been the correct age at which to have your world rock. But was that an important moment?
Yeah. And obviously, they are the most important influence on Tenacious D, along with Cheech and Chong and the Smothers Brothers. But most importantly, it was Spinal Tap. Christopher Guest and the rest, you know, were hugely influential. So funny and so subtle. The first time I watched it, I didn't know that it was a joke. I thought it was a real band. And then on subsequent viewings, I just slowly realized the genius of what I was watching.
My love gun's loaded and she's in my sights. Big game is waiting.
Just magical.
You started out sort of making fun of a certain kind of music with Tenacious D. Do you listen to the music that began as a thing to make fun of?
Yes. I actually, it came from a love of that music. We never really made fun of it in the way that someone spoofing a genre would do.
Right.
We really embraced it while we were sort of making fun of ourselves loving it. But Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, these are the building blocks of my psyche.
And if you did a covers album, would it be songs from those bands? What would you do as a covers record?
Well, if we were to do a covers record, we would try to find songs that we could put a humorous spin on. I wouldn't do a covers record of Neil Young songs.
Because right.
I love those songs. Those might be my favorite songs. But I don't think I would bring anything extra to the party. I would rather do... Lately I've been tinkering with an a cappella cover of a Lionel Richie song where I sing it Bobby McFerrin style, where I sing the melody, but I also sing the bass line. You know how he can play different musical instruments with his voice?
Bobby McFerrin, yeah.
Please allow me to...
Please.
Yeah, you once, twice, yes, three times a lady, oh, and I love you, oh, oh, oh. Yeah, you once, you can edit this later, twice, oh, three times a lady, oh, and I love you, Kurt Anderson.
That was lovely, and a stretch.
I don't really know you well enough to be singing about my love for
you. It's a song.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. You don't know the strangers in the audience when you're singing songs.
Yeah, you once. Okay.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
Could you do, for instance, I'm not saying I would love you to sing it now, but if you were doing a record of covers, could you do like Stairway to Heaven, or is that too anthemic and great?
Yeah, that would be like doing Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's just too many people have heard it too many times.
Right.
We're big on medleys. We do all of Tommy the Who, the rock opera, the great rock opera. We just sort of hit the high points of the whole thing.
And by doing it as a medley, you are sufficiently cheesy that it's okay.
Yeah. Well, we've actually performed it for members of The Who, fearlessly.
Really?
And they were pretty into it. Original.
Let's hear a little bit of that Who medley.
Well, it'd be difficult to do it without my partner, Kyle. Without KG, it's going to sound like, you know, an open-faced tuna melt. You got to have that other piece of rye. But
people eat open-faced tuna melts, and we can make
it. You know,
do.
It starts off with Pinball Wizard. Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure played a mean motherfucking pin. And then it goes on a little longer with Pinball Wizard. And then it skips to, there's a man I found who can bring us all joy. A doctor I found can cure the boy. Doctor I found can cure the boy. Booty, 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 loo, loo. Man I found can remove this sorrow. He lives in this town. Let's see him tomorrow. Let's see him tomorrow. And then it goes into the section where it's like, digga digga down, digga digga down, digga digga down, digga digga down. Anyway, you get the idea.
We'll put the guitar in post-production. It'll be great.
Okay, good.
No, that was great.
Yeah.
This new Tenacious D album has a phoenix on the cover, which is a phallic version of a phoenix so explicit that it's pixelated on iTunes and Amazon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
there's a phoenix.
Yeah,
maybe someone misconstrued it.
Oh, it's my seeing as a phallic.
It's
thing,
what it's okay. Like a Rorschach test.
Yeah. Oh, I either passed or failed. Are you in the middle or about to make another movie?
I'm about to go on another leg of the Tenacious D tour worldwide. Apparently, we're huge in Germany.
Of course,
the Hasselhoff of comedy rock, and we have this scheme. I don't even know if I should talk about it yet, but. We have a dream, a festival of comedy rock featuring Tenacious D and our heroes, Spinal Tap, The Lonely Island from Saturday Night Live, and, of course, Flight of the Conchords.
That's a great idea.
We've never all come together.
Yeah.
And we really should. We're all right next door to each other. Come on, guys. Let's festival this up. It would be called Festival Supreme.
Geez, I really want to be there. Jack Black, it has been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.
The pleasure was mine, Kurt.
And you can see Jack Black's a cappella medley of The Who's Tommy. There's a video at studio360.org. And his film Bernie is out now on DVD and pay-per-view.
His name was Young JB and he refused to step in line. A vision he did see of freaking rocking all the time. He wrote a tasty jam and all the planets did align.